This is how we run the race, looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, dear believer, as we live our lives, as we run that race of faith, as we seek to endure, no matter how difficult it may be, we are looking unto Jesus. Somebody looked at the finish line coming up very, very quickly, and they have in their mind, we're coming to the finish line. That may be so, but the Christian looks to Jesus. He's our strength. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our great example. And so this morning, I want us to consider looking unto Jesus.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we let the Bible speak. It is a privilege to bring God's word to you and to your soul, and we trust that today's program would indeed be a blessing to you. If you have been blessed by these programs, or you simply want to let us know that you're listening, well, do contact us. Our email is pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We're going to go to our pulpit in Cloverdale to consider the message entitled Looking On to Jesus. The Christian life is like a great race, and we are to have patience in that race. We are to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and we are to run that race looking unto Jesus. He's the one who enables us to lay aside every weight. He is the one who gives us strength day by day to live for him and to glorify our God. Are you looking to Jesus today? Are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? Are you resting upon his finished work upon the cross of Calvary and rejoicing that through Christ you have the forgiveness of sins, you are saved and redeemed through his precious blood? May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading again of his word to our souls. The believer is called to a life of constancy in the Christian faith. And our text this morning, verse 1 and verse 2 specifically, highlights for us the need for steadfastness in our lives with our duty to godliness and holiness. We can remind ourselves of such texts as Romans 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 tells us, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 14 teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort, Paul says, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And the clear instruction then regarding the duty of a Christian is laid out for us time and time again in the Scriptures of truth. We are to be a people that put off sin and put off uncleanness and live unto God and holiness and righteousness. In Ephesians 4, verse 23, the Word of God says that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And our duty then as believers is to walk our path in life, to run the race that is set before us, a race of godliness, a race of holiness, a race unto the Lord, as we are compassed about, as verse 1 tells us, by this great cloud of many witnesses. Here the writer of Hebrews, believed to be the Apostle Paul, brings us back to chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, who are these witnesses? Well, Paul has just given us a great insight into these witnesses, the Old Testament saints who accomplished great things. And we must acknowledge then that the chapter divisions of Scripture were not originally there. And therefore, chapter 11 and chapter 12 were all together. There was no break here where we see, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There is a continuation. And so we should not set chapter 11 aside and proceed with chapter 12 and ignore what has come before. Rather, this word wherefore clearly connects both together. And so we see that the great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11 are crucial to our understanding of chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The great witness of the old saints of faith who went forward for God and accomplished great things for Him is an encouragement for you and I as we go forward for God in our lives and in His service. And the opening words remind us of Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse number 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, reminding them of all the difficult things they faced in life. But these believers overcame these difficulties by the grace and through the power of God in faith. A.W. Pink says, that exhortation had been followed by a lengthy proof of the efficacy of preserving faith to enable its possessors to do whatever God commands, however difficult, to endure whatever God appoints, however severe, to obtain what He promises, however seemingly unattainable. And he says in chapter 11, this is all illustrated. And these illustrations are to motivate you and I and to encourage us in pressing forward in the Christian faith. And we're reminded in Hebrews chapter 11 of the great spiritual profit of studying the lives of the Old Testament saints specifically. Too many today write off the Old Testament as being replaced by the New Testament. And therefore, as the Church of Christ, we do not need to pay much attention to the Old Testament, they say. We do not need to read it or consider it. We need to know the New Testament, but not so much the Old. But when we think of the inspiration of Scripture that we considered in the adult Bible class, God inspired the Old Testament. He also inspired the New Testament. The Old Testament is inspired by God for our profit. We cannot set it aside. And if we set it aside or we promote the setting aside of the Old Testament, then we sin. because we're setting aside that inspired revelation of God that He has given for our profit, for our instruction, for our learning. The New Testament outlines the value of considering the lives of these old saints to encourage us in the difficulties and discouragements of our spiritual walk with God. And the Apostle tells us in verse 1 of chapter 12, at the very end of that verse, let us run. Let us run. He has in his mind's eye perhaps the Olympic Games, where all the different cities and athletes in Greece gathered together to display their great gifts in the field of sports. One of those would have been a running race as we know it today. And the apostle takes that race and he uses it as an illustration of the Christian life. We must run with patience that race. And he's not saying you need to run. You must run this race. But he is saying, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The apostle too had a race. We're not racing alone. We are racing with others. We are pressing forward in our Christian lives alongside others. The apostle says, let us run. He himself is running. And the presence of such comrades is most inspiring in this race, as one commentator said. And if we look at chapter 11, we see great examples of men who also ran such a race. And the apostle draws our attention to these spectators, the great cloud of witnesses. This race is run in the eyes of those who have gone before. We often think of those who've gone before. We think of those who've run their race, they've finished their course, they've kept the faith, and we follow in their footsteps. We follow in their heritage. We follow in the path that they marked out regarding the Christian faith. We're not the first Christians. We're not the first Free Presbyterians. There are others who have gone on before, many of them to their eternal reward, and we are following in their footsteps. We are running down that path they once ran down. And they ran down that path honoring Christ, looking on to Jesus. They ran that path well. They kept true to that path. They didn't run off that path. They kept their feet upon the right path in light of God's word and in God's truth, and they finished their course. And we come along and we follow on in the work that they did. They set a great example. There are these great cloud of witnesses, to use Paul's illustration here, that are looking on before. Are we also running a good race? Are we also keeping the faith? Or are we faltering? Are we allowing in error and heresy and false practice? Are we taking seriously the Word of God? Are we godly? The Christian life and the work of the Church of Christ is not merely about ticking the boxes of a confession of faith. The confession of faith helps guide our belief and what we stand for and what we believe the Word of God teaches. We can tick the boxes, but our godliness and our holiness and our walk with God, these things are not something that are shown clearly by the ticking of a box. It's a work within our heart. It's something within our souls. It may not be noticeable to others. The fruit of it may be, but God sees the heart. And the question comes to you and I as we run this race. Are we truly looking to Jesus? Are we truly looking to the Lord? Are we running with hearts that are set right with God? Hearts that are not concerned about merely ticking the boxes, though they are important. The boxes of faith, the boxes of belief, the boxes of sound doctrine. how important these things are, but how absolutely vital is our own godliness and our walk with God. We can say we hold to justification by faith. We can say that we hold to the importance of God's Word and the inspiration of it. But yet if we never open it, if we never spend time, it's a theory in our mind. It is not something that is practiced within our lives. And dear believer, as we walk this walk, as we run this race with patience, the race that is set before us, it is not merely knowing the path, but practicing the path and knowing the great truths of Scripture being applied to our hearts and to our souls. And we see that in chapter 11. We see men of God who not merely knew the truths, not merely understood some of the truths, not merely had a head knowledge of truth, but they had a knowledge within their hearts. They were men of God. Verse 5 speaks of Enoch. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Well, he had faith in God. He knew the forgiveness of sins. He walked with God. He was a man who was godly, a man who knew God in prayer. We can think of Noah, again, a man of faith. Abraham, who obeyed God and went forth. We can think of Isaac moving down. We see Moses as well, and many others. David, men who knew God. They did not merely know about God, but they knew God. There is a difference. And dear believer, you can say today that you know about God. You can say, well, I know about God. I hear the truths of God preached every week. I know about God. But the question is, the real question, do you know God? Do you know Him in your heart? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know Him as that friend that sticketh closer than any brother? Do you know Him in prayer? Do you know Him in the study of His Word? Is there that godliness seen within your life and within your heart? And as we think of this Christian race, we are to have that. We are to have that. Christians are to run the race with patience. And this is a figure that is one of the figures used in the New Testament to describe the Christian life. Believers are like shining lights. They're like branches of the vine, soldiers, strangers, and pilgrims. They're like athletes running the race. And the Word of God says much about running. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, I will run the way of thy commandments. 1 Corinthians 9:24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:7, Paul says, ye did run well. And as we run this race, a race is a difficult thing. If we had a running race this morning and it was down the aisle of the church, that's relatively easy. But when you think of the Olympic Games do not have a little race like that running, 20, 30 meters. It's a lot longer. And there are sprints that make it tough. And there's speed needed. Then there's the endurance races that are much longer. Races, 4,000 meters, 8,000 meters, 16,000 meters, and it continues. And believe it or not, once upon a time, I did run races like that. Maybe not overly well, but at school, you sometimes didn't have much of a choice. And I used to do cross-country running. My friend was like a machine. And once he started running, it was very difficult to keep up. I normally dropped out for a lap and slowed down. We were running for like 2.5 hours constant. I slowed down for a lap, and then he caught up to me, or I caught up to him, and we ran together for a little while. But He could just keep going. As soon as he left the changing rooms, he started running. And he didn't stop till he ran back into the changing room. And that was him. But I was put into a race at school. We were split up into houses. And each house had so many pupils throughout the various years at school. And we competed against each other in various activities, including sports day. And so there was this 8,000 meter race or something like that. Nobody wanted to do it. And they turned to me and said, "You do cross-country running a little bit." I didn't compete, but I just did it. "And you can run this race." And so my friend was running. I thought, I don't stand a chance against him. I had pulled a few things on my leg playing soccer. I decided not to. And so as I was walking home, I saw him, what I thought was training for the race. He was running the various laps on the course. And I thought, well, he's just practicing for the race to come. The next day, he told me that nobody showed up. It was just him. And so they said he can have the medal anyway, but he says, no, I want to earn the medal. So he did the laps anyway. And if I had crawled around there on my hands and my knees with the pain of my leg, I would have got myself a medal. I would have finished the race. You need a little bit of endurance. And so I would have got a medal for the first running race ever. But I didn't feel that I could do it. And often we are like that. We feel that we cannot do it, that we cannot compete, that when it comes to the race of our spiritual lives, it is such a struggle. It is so difficult. It is hard. There is self-denial needed. There is discipline needed. We need to push on through pain and through agony. The race itself is a calling, but we forget something. And often we forget this. And in the book of Revelation, we see churches that forgot this. Notice what our text says, Hebrews 12 and the verse 2. Well, the verse 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a comma here. The sentence continues into verse 2. This is not a race in our own strength. This is not a race that you and I have to find that human strength within us to run. But notice what the apostle says in verse 2. This is how we run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, dear believer, as we live our lives, as we run that race of faith, as we seek to endure, no matter how difficult it may be, we are looking unto Jesus. Somebody looked at the finish line coming up very, very quickly. And they have in their mind, we're coming to the finish line. That may be so, but the Christian looks to Jesus. He's our strength. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's our great example. And so this morning, I want us to consider looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And you may be thinking, well, looking at the bulletin, there is one point. Preacher is preaching a sermon with just one point for the first time ever. But it is one point this morning. There's more to come next week. But looking on to Jesus, first of all, and this is our thought today, this is an act of trust. Looking on to Jesus as we run this race is an act of trust. And looking in Scripture, whether it respects God or Christ, it denotes an act of faith or an act of trust with hope and expectation. It is not a mere act of understanding, but it is an act upon which our trust is placed. Isaiah 45, 22, the verse that Spurgeon was converted through. Look unto him and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For you.
Our Spurgeon devotional today is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse 48. Betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? The kiss is often enemy or deceitful. Let me be on my guard when the world puts on a loving face, for it will, if possible, betray me as it did my Master with a kiss. Whenever a man is about to stab religion, he usually professes very great reverence for it. Let me be aware of the sleek-faced hypocrisy which is armour bearer to heresy and infidelity. Knowing the deceivableness of unrighteousness, let me be wise as a serpent to detect and avoid the signs of the enemy. The young man, void of understanding, was led astray by the kiss of the strange woman. May my soul be so graciously instructed all this day that the much fair speech of the world may have no effect upon me. Holy Spirit, let me not, a poor, frail son of man, be betrayed with a kiss. But what if I should be guilty of the same accursed sin as Judas, that son of perdition? I have been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. I am a member of his visible church. I sit at the communion table. All these are so many kisses of my lips. Am I sincere in them? If not, I am a base traitor. Do I live in the world as carelessly as others do, and yet make a profession of being a follower of Jesus? Then I must expose religion to ridicule, and lead men to speak evil of the holy name by which I am called. Surely if I act thus inconsistently, I am a Judas, and it were better for me that I had never been born. Dare I hope that I am clear in this matter? Then, O Lord, keep me so. O Lord, make me sincere and true. Preserve me from every false way. Never let me betray my Saviour. I do love thee, Jesus, and though I often grieve thee, yet I would desire to abide faithful unto death. O God, forbid that I should be a high, soaring professor, and then fall at last into the lake of fire, because I betrayed my Master with a kiss. This is Let the Bible Speak. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for joining with us today as the Word of God has been preached and set forth. Do you love the Saviour? It is our desire that through these programs that not only would you turn from sin and trust in the Lamb of God, but that you would day by day continue to grow in your love for Him. May the Lord bless you, and may you join with us again as we let the Bible speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.